The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all its contents. We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far. The sciences, each straining in its own direction, have hitherto harmed us little. But someday, the piecing together of disassociated knowledge will open up such terrifying vistas of reality and of our frightful position therein, that we shall either go mad from the revelation or flee from the light into the peace and safety of a new dark age. H.P. Lovecraft, The Call of Cthulhu. Roland Nerdy Podcast presents Mask of Nyarlathotep, a 7th edition Call of Cthulhu campaign.
Gus Franklin has been out of town visiting relatives in North Carolina and was unable to make it back due to the snowstorm, but finally makes it back in town on Wednesday, July the 21st, and goes to his office at the Strange But True offices and looks around for his friend and co-worker, Pepin, and does not find him there. But what he does find in Pep's office is an old friend, Virginia Welch, who is looking through a stack of papers on the desk.
Where's my stack of papers?
Here. I kind of had them in order there.
Okay, it's very important they stay in order. There's a lot of work that I didn't do.
So, Virginia, right. You're sitting at the desk looking through the papers. You're not sure where Pep is. And Gus walks through the door. You haven't seen Gus since Peru.
Well, hey there, stranger.
Howdy, ma'am.
What you doing?
Well, I am about to go into my office over here and see what strange but true things are going on in the world today. How have you been?
Well, you know, a little of this, a little of that. Murder this, murder that. We had a funeral for that doctor.
Yeah, he doesn't know about either one of the people that are dead.
Oh, that's
and they're
great.
Well, no, he doesn't know the doctor, but he's friends with Jackson Elias.
So, you know Jackson Elias, right?
I sure do.
So, he got murdered by some cultists.
What?
And then they killed my friend doctor that saved my life in Peru.
Oh. Well, did the authorities catch the cultists, or what happened?
No, they're kind of, I guess, at large. They ran away from me. I tried to catch them by going down, but then I was like, wow, these guys just committed a murder. Let me not, you know,
maybe we should
try to apprehend them.
Maybe we should back up a little bit and tell them how this all got started.
And, I'm certainly confused.
Yeah, you got that. As a matter of fact, when you get to your office, there's going to be a telegram waiting for you. You want to give him the telegram, which arrived on January the 3rd.
Yeah. This came for you.
It arrived on January the 3rd, but you're getting it a little late.
Okay, well, a couple weeks. Have information concerning Carlisle expedition. Stop. Need reliable investigative team. Stop. Meet January 15th, New York. Stop. Jackson. Well, you said Jackson's dead. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, that arrived on January the 3rd. Today is January the 21st.
Yeah, I'm not going to make that meeting on the 15th.
No. That was when he was murdered on the 15th.
Oh.
So he died that same day.
No, he died on the 15th.
Yeah.
The telegram was on the 3rd.
He
died the day that we were supposed to meet him.
So,
maybe
some background information about what the Carlisle expedition is might be useful. How much of that do you remember?
Okay. So the Carlisle expedition is this playboy from New York named Roger Carlisle, the playboy who everybody knows about.
And being a newspaper person, you would definitely know who the Carlisles are. They're one of the richest people in town. Richie's family's in town.
Oh, yeah, Robert Carlyle. And
he left. He went from New York to explore the tombs of Egypt, and then he was murdered by the locals?
That's maybe the story.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he's dead too?
Yes, but he's been dead since, what's the date you have there, 1919?
Yeah, 1919, and this year is
1925.
Yeah, he's been dead for like 6 years.
And Virginia made a trip to the library and came up with a whole crap load of, not the whole stack, just the top stuff about the Carlyle Expedition. Came up with a whole bunch of information about the Carlyle Expedition, what happened, the official story.
Let me make sure you have it.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff there that doesn't apply to the Carlyle Expedition.
Things man was not meant to know yet.
Well, you'll get to see them, just they're not, we're kind of doing this a little bit at a time. Show me what you got, and I'll tell you whether you should give it to him right now or not.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, so she rolled a 0-1 on the library use. She got a huge stack of information about the Carlyle Expedition.
Like, I'm so good at library, I might as well be Wikipedia.
You are quite the bookworm, Virginia.
And while you're looking through those, a man walks in the door. What does he look like?
Fairly tall, about 6'1", 6'2". Very slim.
That's funny, considering how tall are you, actually?
I'm actually about 6'3".
Okay. But 6'1 is tall.
Typecast.
Very slender, full police uniform for the time, which I think...
Actually, no. Oh. You're not going to be in your uniform. Remember, you're going undercover.
Scratch that.
Scratch that. Never mind, that didn't happen. just a nice, well-kept suit. But very clean shaven, slick back hair, black hair, green eyes.
He looks like a cop, not in his uniform, basically.
Yeah. Not very good at the whole undercover thing.
And they sent you up to this office, and from the front desk. And you see Gus and Virginia in there looking through some paperwork. And seated over in the corner, which no one has even noticed he's been there, is a 7'2", 450-pound bearded man who's taking a nap, apparently.
I love that guy.
Are we sure it's a man?
Virginia knows him.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's my buddy.
The Shambling Mound. Jackson. Okay.
No, what is
Josiah.
Josiah. Well, hey there.
Hello.
They don't know who you are, so you have to tell them what you're here for.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. I'm supposed to be undercover.
Not from them.
Fair enough. My name is Brian McKenzie. I've been asked to assist you all in a matter concerning a Hilton Adams that I've been told you all are investigating.
Yeah, Gus has no idea who Hilton Adams is.
Wait, I'm just getting more and more confused. What a difference a snowstorm can make.
But apparently Virginia doesn't remember who Hilton Adams is either. Okay. Remember, he's the guy who was framed for the murders.
The murders of the Carlyle?
No. The murders that Jackson was looking into in New York of the people in Harlem. People in Harlem were being ritualistically murdered.
Okay, yeah.
And Hilton Adams and his friends, who were members of the Harlem Hellfighters in World War I, had set up kind of a patrol to try to catch the people who were killing people in Harlem. This Captain Robeson of the 14th Precinct in Harlem, came upon Hilton Adams over a body that had been ritualistically murdered and accused and basically framed Hilton Adams for this series of homicides.
And Jackson was looking into that.
Yes, because he thought those murders might have been a death cult. Now you can tell them why you're here, and because now they know who Hilton Adams is.
Right. Yeah, once again, I've been told you all are investigating the matter concerning Hilton Adams and been asked to assist you in matter, by my lieutenant.
Your lieutenant?
So again, I wasn't told to be undercover from them.
Right, no, they, okay. And they know who Lieutenant Poole is.
Yeah, my Lieutenant
Poole. Well, she does. Lieutenant Poole is the one who who Pep's called. You know who he is, too, because Pep knows him. He called him to the scene of the murder.
Yeah, he was the one that took care of that.
Mm-hmm. Made sure you guys didn't go to jail, basically, for the murder.
Right.
Because they were in a room with, four dead bodies. Jackson Elias, the doctor, and two dead cultists that they killed.
I mean, they needed to die. Well, nice to meet you, Brian.
Well, okay, well, this is a lot to process here.
Oh, there's more. I'm just letting you get caught up because more.
wait, first of all, where's Pep? What's going on with Pep?
Josiah wakes up. Pep said he had to go. He told me to. He's thinking, take care of Gus in Virginia.
All right. Thanks, Josiah.
You're Virginia. Who's Gus?
This is Gus.
Gus waves at him. Hello, Biggin. How's it going?
He stands up. His head almost touches the ceiling. He's wearing a big blackjack strapped to his waist like a cop that walks the beat, which is strange.
He doesn't seem very cop-like to me.
No, he's definitely not.
He seems more city block-like to me.
Yes.
He's enormous. Where'd you find this guy?
Oh, he's
I think Lieutenant Poole found him also.
Oh.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. He's a...
he's a bodyguard.
He's a bodyguard that Pep hired, and since he left town, now he's your bodyguard.
Well.
And his other occupation, he's a bartender in a speakeasy. So he's a little leery of cops, but you're not in a uniform, so he's all right with you so far.
Well, and, you know, any security guard at a speakeasy is a friend of Gus, so, because, you know, he knows where a speakeasy is.
Yep, you probably have been to the speakeasy where Josiah works, so you probably have seen him before. And actually, he's a bartender. He's not the security.
Oh, okay. Well, handy information to have in 1925, for sure. So.
Yes. All right, so we kind of are up to date on the Carlisle expedition. Any information about what we know so far that you'd like to pass along to Officer McKenzie?
Okay.
That you think he would need to know? I was talking to Gus since he's the one who has the least amount of information.
That's a good point.
We're going to do it a little bit at a time.
Well, whatever Brian doesn't know about the Carlisle, he's helping us out with the Hilton Adams question. Okay, so, well, one of our former companions who met an unfortunate early end about a week ago.
He's a police officer on the murder squad, so.
Right.
He probably knows about it.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't actually know about it.
Right.
he was under the impression that Adams might have been framed for the Harlem murders. And, of course, he was wanting to meet with us to discuss some things when he wound up dead himself. And that's about where we are.
Okay. You have an appointment Friday morning to meet with Hilton Adams at Sing Sing. Oh, yeah, Virginia has a bunch more information over there, by the way, that you... She's looking like she's getting ready to get rid of it.
I'm done with this!
What's the next thing you have there?
Okay, Big Apple Dateline.
Oh, yeah, that's the car... You don't need to read the Carlisle stuff. Go to the next... After the Carlisle stuff.
Expedition. Oh, I forgot to give him all this expedition stuff. You want more of this?
I thought he did give it.
I gave it back to you.
He did give it to him. All right, what's the next thing after that?
Tonight only, the Cult of Darkness.
Okay, that you found in the room where Jackson Elias was murdered.
Okay. I found this. Sorry. Here.
Let's see, this was in the... So, did Jackson have this, or did you just find it?
It was in the room.
Oh.
where he was murdered.
Some of the things you recovered from the room, the cultists were taking, but they were taking out of the room, and that was one of them.
Oh.
So this was something Jackson had, but the cultists for some reason wanted to take it out of the room.
The cult of darkness.
Yeah, like he didn't want anybody to know that he had it.
In Polynesia and the Southwest Pacific, a two-hour lecture with slides delivered by Professor Anthony Cowles, PhD, at the University of Sydney, Australia, and presented Loxley Fellow of Polynesian, presently Loxley Fellow of Polynesian Esoteric at Miskatonic University, Arkham.
And that, tonight, is a date in the past, so.
I wonder if any of my friends in academia might be aware of Professor Cowles.
Possibility.
Okay, and then it was the cultists that had this.
No. That was what was carved in Jackson Elias' forehead.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have that picture.
We don't.
So you're going to have to describe that to him.
Oh, okay.
Because you did not take a camera and take a picture of it.
The curse of the photography skills.
I have all these photography skills, but no damn camera.
Well, we're just in New York. You can get a camera now.
Just let them see it, okay. Because I don't know how good a job you would be.
It's like a snowflake.
She's describing that to
right?
you, but I'm just gonna let you look at it.
Parentheses around it, and it is carved into their skin.
It's
really gross.
It's not carved into anyone's skin except Jackson Elias and all the other murder victims. So.
But the cultists don't have this card.
No. They were wearing a headband with a red strip hanging down the front of it. All right. What's the next thing you got there?
I have this picture of a boat.
Let him see it. You actually have that picture.
I have a picture of a boat.
Wow, nice.
Holy crap.
Nice watercraft.
Okay, I'm going to turn these upside down.
So what's this supposed to be?
I forget.
Well, you don't know.
Oh,
just
yeah,
something you
no
found
idea.
In Jackson Elias' room.
I found it in his house. Or his,
I wonder.
What is it? It's a not an apartment, but something you
his
have
flat.
For a little while.
His hotel room?
Hotel room.
I wonder if this is related to the Carlisle expedition, maybe.
Maybe
I'll let the cop see it.
The boat that the Playboy took to Egypt. I mean,
next thing.
Maybe he flew to Egypt. Maybe he.
Yeah, that's something you found in the Jackson Elias room, also.
I found
it's
that,
funny, Tammy's acting like she's seeing these things for the first time, like you are.
Probably is.
You can read that out loud.
I have the memory of a hamster.
Mr. Jackson, dear Mr. Elias, the book about which you inquired is no longer in our collection. The information you seek may be found here in other volumes. If you will contact me upon arrival, I will be most happy to further assist you. As always, Miriam Atwright, Harvard University Library. So we might have to go to Cambridge. Okay.
Cambridge University?
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Where Harvard is.
Where Harvard is. But we don't know what book he's looking for, but Miriam Atwright probably would, I'm guessing.
Right.
If she'll talk to us, because, you know, Jackson had an effect on people. So.
Okay, and then this is a letter. That came from Cairo, Egypt.
Cairo.
Egypt. Because.
Or if you're in Tennessee, it's Cairo.
Cairo, Egypt.
Not just Tennessee. I'm sure there are plenty of places that have Cairo.
Or Cairo. It said, Dear Mr. Carlisle, your lawyer informed me that you seek certain knowledge of this land and its distant past. I believe I can aid you in this regard. Inquiries in the old quarter have identified one far as.
I believe it's Faraj Najjar, is the way I.
Faraj Najjar. In the street of Jackals. who claims to be in possession of singular curios. Of singular curios, which he believes he will be of, which he believes will be of great interest to you. He is prepared to part with these items of, if a suitable price can be agreed upon. I shall endeavor to make that. Sorry, this is all in cursive. Agreed upon, and I shall endeavor to make sure that matters are arranged to your satisfaction. Yours, M. Warren Basalt.
Basart. So that is a letter to Roger Carlyle that Jackson had on his person, and that stays folded because it's actually just one card.
That makes sense.
Well, and considering where Mr. Carlyle was traveling, probably more than one street of jackals. But, you know, it was a lot easier doing this when we were trying to get somebody back at the paper to kick the budget loose for travel when it wasn't me kicking the budget loose.
And then,
that is a business card.
I have this business card for Emerson Imports. From 648 West 47th Street, New York, New York.
Oh, we can go knock on the door. They're pretty easy. That sure
and
beats the street
of
jackals.
And then it's got a signature on the back. I'm not sure. Maybe that's a contact there. Maybe he used it to have a note.
Probably. I believe that is Silas Nkwame. I thought you would say that name.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Well,
all right. The next thing you have, she has there, are the notes that Jackson sent back from. You have two different things there. That in that hand are the notes that Jackson sent back for the book he was planning to write on the Carlyle expedition.
Oh.
So this they got from his publisher. Jonah Kensington at Prospero Press, who you would know because he's a publisher,
right.
And he publishes books that would go along with Strange But True. There's a huge information dump at the beginning of this. Hopefully it didn't overwhelm you.
Right.
I feel overwhelmed, and I was here for the first dump.
So you don't have to read all that right now. You can read that later if you want to.
You want to read any of it?
I can skim through it.
And then what is the next thing there?
Illegible writing.
To say greetings from beyond the grave. Is that what it says at the top?
Oh, yeah. Greetings from beyond the grave.
Oh.
Yeah, that is the
Jackson.
Letter that Jackson wrote to you guys.
That's creepy.
Yeah, you could say that again, Jackson. By now, you know that all I've really left you is a whole heap of trouble. Well,
basically, he wants you to continue to investigate the Carlyle expedition. He's set up a fund through his lawyer and left his money to that end.
Oh.
That basically is a...
Well, seeing as how that's going to help offset the Strange But True travel budget for this quarter...
Yes.
I think I'm might be a little more amenable to hitting the road a little bit.
What's the next thing? Is it big news?
Yeah.
Actually, that was big news should be before the notes, but that's fine.
This is big news.
Yeah, that should have, you should have read that before the notes.
Oh,
because
really?
it refers to the
okay,
notes.
Okay.
But that's fine.
Thank you.
Oh, there's a possibility that not all of the members of the Carlyle expedition died. He has a lead. I bet you do.
And then the next thing kind of shows a little bit of evidence that maybe Jackson's sanity was slipping a little bit.
This isn't real writing.
Many names, many forms, but all the same and toward one end. Need help. Too big, too ghastly. These dreams, dreams like Carlyle's? Check that psychoanalyst files. All of them survived, exclamation mark. They'll open the gate? Why? So the power and the danger is real. They, many threads beginning. The books are in Carlyle's safe. Coming for me. Will the ocean protect? Oh ho, no quitters now. Must tell and make readers believe. Should I scream for them? Let's scream together.
So I wonder if this note was Jackson making notes for himself, or if this was
that was a note that he sent to Jonah Kensington, his publisher.
Oh, so this okay.
So now you have a whole crap load of clues. You just have to figure out where to start.
Imagine how much like mythos knowledge he must have, though, with being that crazy.
Well, he's dead, so he has no mythos knowledge.
Or all of it.
that's true. So, I guess maybe...
Today is Wednesday the 21st. Your meeting at Sing Sing is the 23rd, so you basically have 2 days to do other stuff before your next planned meeting.
Okay, well, obviously we would need to do stuff handy and nearby. So, that importer... I believe on 47th, maybe? Or 47th, yeah.
648-47.
Yeah, we should check them out. Emerson Imports. Eh?
What say you, Copper?
Sounds like a plan to me.
And Josiah does whatever you tell him to do.
Josiah, come along.
He's basically here when it jumps off, he starts swinging. That's basically what he's here for.
Well, and that's the one that had the...
The signature on the back.
Yeah, Silas
maybe it's
and
somebody
Kwame.
Who works there? Or is that somebody you know?
I'm not familiar with this person, but...
If you'd like to try an extreme no roll, since you live in New York City, I would let you do that. Not you, you don't live in New York City.
I've been in New York City for a couple of days.
The cop and Gus can try because they... Actually... No, so extreme, either one of you. So that's going to be the small number on the right.
For which?
Intelligence.
Intelligence. That would be it. Yeah, that's not going to work out.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No is education. I'm sorry.
That's worse.
I'm pretty educated. Are you sure? I can't remember.
You don't live in New York, so there's no chance
what
you would know
Josiah?
Who that. Josiah is dumb, but I'll give him a roll.
Watch him know. That would be hilarious.
I know nothing.
Well, I guess we need to head over to West 47th and see if the people at Emerson Imports can tell us about this Silas and Kwame.
All right. The company can be found in a long, narrow building on the edge of the Hudson River, just beyond Hell's Kitchen. There are loading docks at both ends. The building itself is a warehouse piled high with freight, with a small set of offices upstairs at the front. If you go to the front door, there is a desk with a plaque on it that says Arthur Emerson, and a man in his 50s sits behind the desk. He looks up.
What
Hello.
Does this place sell? Wait, is there like merchandise?
In the warehouse section, but you're going in the office. It's an import business, so it's not like a store.
Oh, okay.
how can I help you?
Mr. Emerson?
Yes, that would be me.
Yes, hi. My name is Gus Franklin.
Are you sure?
I am. I wasn't sure about the Franklin there for a moment, but it's been a long
time
a long,
since you
yeah.
said your name.
It's been a long few months for sure. So we're trying to follow up on some leads that a former partner of ours was chasing down, and we're going to hand Mr. Emerson his card.
Oh, yes.
Emerson Imports, and then show him the back. With the name on it, Silas and Kwame.
Silas and Kwame. Silas is the owner of the Juju House in Harlem. They sell African art and kind of bric-a-brac. I'm the importer. for the Mombasa importer Aja Singh. And I received the items and shipped them out to Juju House. I gave this information to a African-American gentleman. I forget his name.
Mr. Elias?
Oh, yes, Mr. Elias. Very nice gentleman.
Yeah, Mr. Elias, he's the friend of ours. He, unfortunately, he's no longer with us.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What happened?
Well, that's part of what we're trying to find out.
What?
Natural causes. I'm trying to tell him maybe it's not a great idea to run around telling everybody that he's talked to, that he's, you know, been murdered by crazy cultists.
Oh, I don't know what happened to him. I want to find out, though, because, yeah, I've been out of town. This, you know, dang snowstorm kept me sidelined for much longer than I expected. And I come back to town and find out that one of my friends is deceased and all sorts of other stuff's breaking loose. So,
yeah, I'm terribly sorry to hear that. I'm sure that Elias intended to visit Juju House to talk with Silas.
So you say this Singh character,
Aja Singh, he is in Mombasa, which is in Kenya, I believe.
And that's where you get your goods that you then sell to Silas at Juju House.
Correct.
What kind of things are they?
African art, devil masks, carved wildebeests, weapons.
Okay, just, you know, normal tourist stuff.
Yeah, like that kind of thing.
So, is all of this made there and then sold here?
Are they
import
authentic
anything?
Looking weapons?
What's right. that?
Are they authentic looking weapons? I've been in the market for some cool looking stuff recently.
I've seen a couple of them. They look like they're for display. I'm not sure. They don't look like they have sharp edges. But I don't really see everything. Because, you know, it's just one of my accounts. I have many accounts.
Right. I don't expect you to remember everything, of course. That'd be ridiculous.
Well, do you deal any in actual archaeological items, or is it more just wholesale to retail?
Yeah,
stuff?
Just wholesale to retail. It's just nothing of any real extreme value.
Okay. So, you wouldn't happen to have the address for Juju House handy?
I would. It is 1 Ransom Court.
That sounds like a dangerous place.
Ransom, Ransom Court in New York City, and that is in Harlem.
You said 101?
No, just 1.
1 Ransom Court. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
are you going to go there?
Well, we're trying to...
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Trying to track down this lead.
Is it not a friendly place?
That ain't Kwame, dude. He just makes my skin crawl.
Really?
I told Elias that.
Why does he give you that feeling?
Just something creepy about him.
Well, hope he doesn't creep us out. And then, of course, Gus looks over Brian, Josiah.
you're two look like a wrestling tag team over
right,
there.
Right, and Gus, of course, used to spar with Pep, so it's not like he shies away from a scuffle, but it's always handy to have a mountain you can hide behind.
I'm super dangerous too, guys. Come on.
Right. You bought a camera yet?
No.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
No film?
Frick yeah.
I told you were in New York and you're now semi-rich.
Oh, yeah, that's so right. I have camera, exclamation point, smiley face.
So you got a camera.
And apparently laxatives. What's wrong with me?
You bought laxatives?
It's like the second thing on my equipment list.
You never know.
Priorities? I don't know.
It might come in handy.
Could be important at some point.
You need to sneak in somewhere and drop a couple laxatives in somebody's coffee.
So okay. On the morning of the 21st, we visited Emerson Imports. Are we done with Mr. Emerson?
I guess we are, Mr. Emerson. Anybody else have any other questions for him?
Brian?
No, I don't have any.
This seems to be our single point of contact or near contact for him with Jackson anyway.
Well, if that is all, gentlemen and lady, have a good day. I can't talk. Should get back to work.
Thank you,
all
sir.
All right, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So.
Let's, maybe we should come up with, like, I don't know, maybe we should, like, wear armor when we go to this place? Like,
that
I feel like this
that
is the place where Jackson caught the cultists and then died because the cultists killed him.
Cultists killed him in his hotel room, though.
Is that where we found him? Or where
yes.
they found him? Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Juju House is a business, I mean, even if Emerson thinks that this Silas character is creepy or whatever, it's a business. They want to sell stuff. And they obviously import enough stuff through Emerson Imports to be a going concern.
Or maybe they just launder money. Who knows?
Well, that could be, too. It could be a front for some bathtub gin operation. Who knows? But if that's the case, you know, glancing over at Brian, I don't think your lieutenant would be upset if you had to collar some criminals for that, anyway.
No, I don't think he would, either.
Well, okay, so that's what we do the morning of the 21st. Do we have anything else we want to do? Do we want to go straight on over to Juju House and talk to Mr. Ngwame, or anything else we should do first?
Maybe we should, like, have weapons on us? Like, I feel apprehensive.
Well, Josiah has his weapons. I'm assuming Brian has.
Brian always has his weapon on.
Yeah.
He's got a shoulder holster. His jacket coat.
Josiah has a blackjack and a .38 revolver.
Okay, I'm just going to pick up
which is not legal, so hopefully the cop doesn't arrest it when he sees it.
Josiah's
isn't. When he has to use it, it won't matter. I'll be more than happy he's got one.
Right.
I've got this very large knife and some brass knuckles.
Yeah, I have my .45 auto and
interesting weapons for a lady.
Right. Well, Gus would not have, in New York, just leaving his office, Gus would not have his .45 automatic on him. But that's okay. He's not concerned about going to this business in Harlem.
.45 auto club.
He kind of shakes his head at Virginia and says, "It's okay, farm girl. We'll be fine."
No.
But if you want to go by the museum somewhere and put on a suit of armor, I guess.
Yeah, that won't,
we didn't see what they did to him.
That won't look suspicious at all.
But fine. I'll go regular.
All right. The African Art Emporium in Harlem is at One Ransom Court, a cluttered alley off West 137th Street, east of Lenox Avenue. The short alley opens into a 20-foot square court. The only doors from the court are those of Juju House and the back door of an abandoned pawn shop that fronts onto 138th Street. There are two African-American gentlemen standing in the court when you arrive. They are just kind of standing around chatting. It is just afternoon.
Are these gentlemen standing near? I mean, we can see the door to Juju mm-hmm. House. It's clearly marked or whatever.
Yes. Okay. And they're not blocking the door or anything. They're just standing in the court. It's a 20-foot square court. It's very small.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's surrounded by tenement houses.
All right. Well, in that case, I would say we would greet them as we walk by, but we're here to see Silas and Silas, the proprietor of the Juju House. So that's what we're going to do. Does anybody want to talk to these guys? Or?
I mean, I think it'd be weird if we did. This is New York.
Right. We're not
Gringos at Peru
anymore. Right, yeah. All right, well, doff my cap to them as we walk by and head toward the Juju House.
They just look at you and don't respond.
All right, so we open the door to the Juju House, and who's going in first? I vote Gus.
Oh, Gus is more than happy to go.
Did you just say you open the door?
Yeah, I open the door.
Open the door and shove Gus in.
Where's the description of the interior?
Is it very cluttered in there? Because if it is, I'll ask Josiah to stay outside.
It is a little, yes. The interior is dusty and cluttered. There is an elderly African-American man with very little hair sitting behind the counter. He has a blanket around his shoulders. Anyone who has anthropology, or I guess you can just try, you can do an anthropology role if you'd like.
I have 32 in anthropology.
There we go.
I'm useful. I don't have any dice. What am I supposed to do? I'm useful, but not quite. There's a mole in here. Oh, that's not a mole. That's a man.
Mole man?
Mole man.
Okay, what am I getting out?
Two?
Yeah.
This is one?
Yes, that is the D10. The other one will have two, but you can use that one too. That's fine.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, the shop interior is. I'm sorry, go ahead and roll your dice.
Roll, you have to roll them separately. Roll one for,
oh,
the,
okay.
For the tens.
Well, they
the
were
ones.
Both. Let's just pretend that I rolled them separately. Okay, that's a one.
Okay.
And that's a six. So 16.
All right. His blanket is a, don't forget to check that skill. His blanket is a shuka, which is usually worn by Maasai tribesmen. The shop interior is 15 by 20, and that gentleman is the only one in here right now. The shop is dirty, dusty, piled with African tribal artifacts. Devil masks, leather-headed drums, stuffed model giraffes, carved wildebeest, dull hand weapons, ivory warthogs, and so on. The shop has an oppressive, uneasy feel to it. Behind a cluttered waist-high cabinet sits the man in the blanket. He smiles, showing that he has no teeth. Says, "Hello, and welcome to Juju House. How can I help you?" Josiah stayed outside.
Stays near the door in one place.
But he's inside?
Inside.
Okay.
Well, there's no room to move in there now.
Right? It's very small.
I'm kidding. Mostly. So, yes, Gus says, "Hello, sir. We are looking for one Silas Nkwame. Might you be he?"
"Yes, I am Silas. How can I help you?"
"Yes, sir. Hi. We are trying to... we're trying to find out some information on what a friend of ours may have been working on a couple weeks ago."
"Yeah, we're just trying to finish up some of his research. And we found your name on a business card in his apartment."
"From, the business card from Emerson Imports. You familiar with Mr. Emerson?"
"Yes, Mr. Emerson. And I do business. What was your friend... investigating?"
"Well, that's kind of what we're trying to figure out."
"Yeah, we're not really sure. It's just, we know his research was important to him, and we wanted to see if we could figure out what it was and finish it up for him."
"Right.
I have no idea what you're talking about."
"I'm sorry, sir. I'm getting the cart before the horse here. My name is Gus Franklin, and I'm one of the owners of Strange But True magazine, or newspaper. You may have heard of us. We're a local publication, but we're growing right here in the Big Apple."
"I'm afraid I'm not familiar with that publication."
"Okay, well, we were working with an author by the name of Jackson Elias, and he was the gentleman who had this business card. And he studies and writes about news items and phenomenon all around the world. So, being an importer of African goods, we thought he may, and that might have been why he had your business or had a card with your name on it."
"I couldn't really answer that question. I don't know who that is, and I don't know why he would have a card with my name on it."
"Okay. Well, you know, he did have an interest in archaeological items as well.
Well, as you can see, nothing in here is archaeological. It's just
display. Are they authentic?
They're made in Africa.
Well, I guess sometimes leads just lead to dead ends, sir. And Gus is trying to take in as much as he can here in the shop. So as he's
to a spot hidden,
as he's trying to disengage.
Oh, I need to roll.
Ooh, I got a 3.
One.
I'll take it.
19.
One, two.
You notice a couple of things, Gus. First of all, you notice everybody who made that roll, the spot hidden, noticed that he has a key on a strap around his neck. If you made hard or better on your spot hidden, did anybody besides Gus do that?
What's
hard
what's
is
half
the
35?
Half 35 is 17.
Didn't make it.
Then do an occult roll. The two of if you made a successful hard spot
exactly.
Hit. Occult roll, Gus.
Make an occult. Oh,
no, she didn't make it.
It.
You did.
Okay, so I make an occult roll.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Did not make it.
Occult roll?
Yeah, sure. Probably not my best.
Did my occult at 55.
Yeah.
Okay. You see some weird stuff, but okay. you don't know.
And
don't
he did have a key.
Yes.
Tied around his neck. Okay.
Behind
That's
him
a
is
really a really pretty necklace you have on. It's so interesting.
It's a key.
I know, but it's like. It's so minimalistic, but it just. I like how real it feels.
Psychology check. Anybody can do it.
Sure.
35, I did it.
17. I'm getting all these 7 rolls.
Yeah, I'm not even going to finish that. I didn't make it.
Psychology is at 45. I've made hard.
All right, he seems like he's getting a little annoyed now. Do you want to buy anything? I'm really here, you know, to sell and...
I do apologize for taking up so much of your time. If somebody wants to buy something from this fine merchant, that would be okay, I guess. I apologize for occupying your afternoon, sir.
Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. You too.
I kind of wanted to buy one of their masks.
Well, have at it.
So buy it.
Okay.
You have enough of your walking around money. You can just buy a mask if you want one.
Gus is going to step outside and see if the two guys who were out there when we came in are still there.
Yes.
Do any of the masks look particularly cool?
They look like devil. They're devil masks.
What color are they?
Red.
Any of them different?
No. They're
okay,
mostly
I buy a mask.
All right, so you have a devil mask.
Cool. Thank you. I don't wear it out of the store. Does he bag it for me?
Yeah, he'll put it in a bag for you. So how did you get here, by the way? Drive? Take a cab?
We probably took a cab of some sort.
Well, took a cab. What did Josiah ride in?
He can fit in the cab. He's just a little cramped.
Okay.
All right, so when you leave Juju House, where are you going now?
Okay, so there was that. Now, did we have... We had the flyer for the event, but that had already happened.
Yes.
Wait a minute. That had a venue on it, though, didn't it?
New York University. And the professor is a professor at Arkham.
Right. Which we could maybe roll into our trip to Harvard when we do that, but we can't knock that out this afternoon, obviously.
Where is Harvard?
Harvard is in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and of course, Arkham.
Is also in Massachusetts.
Arkham, Massachusetts. And Miskatonic is in Arkham, Massachusetts. So, I mean, depending on when you folks want to try to make that trip, maybe we could do that tomorrow. We have to be back here the next day, don't we, for our...
Yeah, Sing Sing is half an hour north of New York by train. So.
And we have, is that tomorrow or the next day?
That is Friday.
That is the next day. That's Wednesday currently. Okay. And what is it now? Mid-afternoon?
Yeah, it's like 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
So you're going back to Strange But True. Where are we going?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
You want to just, like, hang out until our meeting?
All right, spot hidden. Everybody.
Nope, failed.
I very critically did not make that. I'm now blind for at least 5 seconds, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I didn't make it.
Okay. You get back to Strange But True.
All right, so how have you been? How is your family?
Cold.
I sincerely hope your family is not cold.
It's winter. That's why they're cold.
Yeah, it's winter and they're in...
I thought that was a dead joke. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. They're cold because it's winter and they're in the mountains of North Carolina. So...
They have a nice zoo over there.
What are you trying to say about my family?
Just saying. Have a nice zoo.
Tammy used to live in North Carolina, not Virginia.
So based on the notes that we had and other items we had collected from Jackson, was there anything else we needed to try to chase down in New York? I know that a couple of his letters there were kind of confusing and a little bit rambling, it seemed like. But
yeah, he seemed kind of cray-cray.
Well, why don't we, in that case... I don't know. Then since we're back at Strange But True, you know, we can... Again, Brian looks like a cop out of uniform, but no need to tell people he's a cop.
Yeah,
right.
And he would have mentioned that outside of you guys,
right.
Everybody needs to know that I'm an officer.
Right. So
do
what,
you have anything you need to do, Brian?
Right. What are our stops today? Did anything trigger any bells for you?
Any, like,
or
police instincts?
The place we just were didn't seem right. But
yeah, I
just go drapes about.
Oh, I have an idea.
At least not
broad
daylight.
What if we go back at night and break in?
You're talking to a cop.
Sometimes you gotta work.
It is
the
1920s. The rules aren't exactly in place. I can bend them a little bit.
I kind of want his key.
Look, based on Gus's background, he's not going to commit any crimes with a cop because that seems way too familiar in terms of getting in trouble real easily. So,
I mean, I feel okay around it.
You're okay with committing crimes with a cop, huh?
I mean, if he's with me, who's going to arrest me?
There are a lot of crimes
if it's sanctioned by the officer.
Yeah, I mean, is it really a crime if you need to do it?
Is a search warrant even a thing in the
1920s?
I don't know.
Yes, they are, and yes, it is a crime. And then the cop is committing the crime with you. It doesn't absolve you of the crime. Hope none of his cop buddies show up to arrest you and your new cop buddy.
There are a lot.
If his cop buddies come up to arrest him, are they really buddies?
There are a lot of crooked cops at this time.
That is true. That is true. And you are flush with cash.
To be fair, you don't know which kind Brian is.
Right. We just spent an afternoon. Most of the day.
I have a good feel for it.
But you.
I have senses.
You get a hunch.
You kind of think.
Psychology roll.
You kind of think Lieutenant Poole is pretty straight up, and he's the one who sent him, so.
Yeah, and we're familiar with Lieutenant Poole.
I mean, I don't think Lieutenant Poole is that straight up. He'd let me walk out of a murder scene without so much as a question.
That's because he didn't believe you killed anybody.
Right. Did you kill him?
I mean,
may have killed
I'm a stand-up person. Like, I know what we need to do when we need to do it. I think we might need to break it. What say you, Brian?
Now I see if the lieutenant's willing to give me a search warrant.
We might need to have ground if we go to pool, though.
Well, this Harlem is Captain Robeson's turf.
Right.
That's and you haven't really filled them in on all of that, but you know that would be an issue.
Yeah.
So if we're going to do anything in Harlem, we need to do it unofficially. Is that right?
Yes.
What if we just didn't break in, but we hung out there on the roof and, like, looked at the place for a while?
Well, you know, surveillance. I guess we could go back and just take a look at the place after hours, see if the cast of characters has changed. I'm sure that it'll be closed down in the evening.
The door said it closed at 5.
Does my devil mask give any, like, aura off or anything?
How would you know if it did?
I don't know. check hidden?
You want a spot hidden on your juju mask you just bought? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Semi out of character. There's no snap, smell, BS roll. But that's Gus's character, so.
I did not make it. If I had made it, though, I'm really curious. Does anybody else want to look really closely at my mask?
No. As far as I can tell, it's just a mask.
Damn it, guys.
As far as I can tell, it's just a tourist.
As far as I can tell, you guys are killjoys.
All right, so anything else you want to do on the 21st? You have, like, the evening, if you want to do anything in the evening or the night.
You guys want to go stare at that store with me?
Stare at it.
I want to go eat. It's dinner time. Let's go
eat. Eating does sound like a plan.
Let's go eat, and then
Josiah's always down for eating.
Damn it, Josiah.
Maybe on the way on the way back, we can swing by Ransom Court and see what's going on at the African Art Emporium.
Yeah, let's go eat. Ugh.
How late are you going to Ransom Court?
Well, if it closed at 5, it's January.
It's pretty close to dark at 5.
Yeah, it would be dark after dinner. So.
Okay, so like 6:30. I feel like that'd be too early.
Pick a time.
Let's say
7:38.
Yeah, let's say 8:00.
7:38. She would say 7:38.
Not be in a rush. And it'll be dark.
All right. Is there snow on the ground, or is it been shoveled?
Gus has acquired his 45 at this point. So.
Yeah, the snow has been pretty much shoveled. I need a group luck roll. Who has the worst luck?
The worst luck is probably me. 30.
That's 40.
My luck is 50.
Okay. Gus, give us a luck roll.
I got a 41, so that would be a failure.
Okay.
But I want to be lucky.
So you arrive at Ransom Court at 8 o'clock. You have to make your way down an alley to get to the court. So are we all going down there?
Yep.
Okay. The two guys, maybe not the same two guys, but there are still two guys hanging out in the court. And it is freaking cold, so it's kind of unusual for people to be standing around outside.
Okay, so we have to go down an alley to get to the court, mm-hmm. which means...
Is it like a dead-end court?
Mm-hmm.
The alley ends and opens onto the court.
Yes.
Is the alley illuminated in any way?
Yes, there's one light down there that kind of casts a dim light so you can see that...
Into the court or into the alley?
The court.
Oh, okay.
The alley is between two tenement buildings, so there's some light coming through the windows, but not much.
Okay, in that case, Gus will slow about halfway down the alley and whisper to everyone, but to Brian, let's see what we can see from the shadows, since we can see the light coming in from the court.
Okay.
And
sounds good to me.
Oh, I've got this great idea, guys. I don't say it very loudly, but what if you stayed here and I went to go ask them for a cigarette?
A white woman in the middle of the night in Harlem?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
By yourself?
That's the most, like, unthreatening thing in the whole world.
It's also the most unlikely thing in the world here.
Should we send Josiah?
No, we should go to the end of the alley and stay in the shadows and see what we can see.
Stealth. if you're going to the end of the alley.
I'm
going to
do that.
I'm at least going into the end of the alley. I haven't decided how far I'm going yet. So,
failed the stealth roll.
19, I did. Wait, where is my stealth?
Josiah failed also.
I did not fail.
So you're the only one that's stealthy.
But you're the one who wanted to walk right up to them and ask for a cigarette.
I mean, you gotta get stuff done somehow. Okay. Guys.
So she's stealthy.
Doing stealth is the exact opposite of what I'm used to doing.
Right. Yeah, similar here.
What's everybody's dexterity?
For Gus, it's a 60.
50.
65. I'm not very dexterous.
You're not very dexterous, but you are hidden right now. Or at least stealthy.
And Brian, yours was what?
65.
The two guys start walking toward the alley. Brian, your initiative.
Oh, right. So they're just walking towards the alley right now. Mm-hmm. Not made any threatening movements or gestures. Nope.
We can just pretend we're trying to get out of the way.
They've fairly clearly spotted me. Well, I'm just going to stand there and just light a cigarette. Pretend like that's just what I'm
doing. Alrighty, well, the first one just shot you.
Oh, right!
With a 22, I need the dice bag.
Told you this was a good idea.
For 5, how many hit points do you have total?
12.
Okay, that's not a major wound, but you do need to mark off 5. Second one is shooting at Gus, and also hit you.
Ow!
And that is an impale.
Well,
you are impaled.
So that's a total of 11.
Oh, dang. Well, I was impaled.
You're going to die.
How many hit points do you have?
My maximum hit point is 11.
All right.
So that's what I've got.
So you hit the ground.
I'm down and impaled.
I take his gun.
Would that be considered a major wound?
That is definitely a major wound.
I pick up his gun immediately.
All right. Josiah is returning fire and impaled one of them.
Good.
Yeah, Josiah.
I mean, not that Gus is aware of it, but he has a feeling that something good has happened.
All right, he just, I don't know if you can do this with a .38 revolver, he just blew one of them's head off. He did 19 points of damage.
Wow. I think Josiah does his own reloads, and he may have reloaded that one a little bit heavy.
Virginia.
All right, so I took Gus's gun.
All right. Do you have firearms?
Absolutely not.
All right, then roll your base.
You're 1 in 5 chance of hitting something.
Okay, so I only have these D10s. What do I roll?
That's what you roll.
Yeah, roll ones.
One at a time.
Roll one at a time. One for your okay. ones, one for your 10s.
But your,
let's re-roll this.
Your base firearm is 25%. So.
7 nope. and 8.
That is a way miss. Brian.
All right, yep. I'm going to return fire with my 45.
Fire.
Oops. Ooh, that. Why you hate me, dice? Why? Done with you.
Do you have first aid, by the way?
I do.
You just saw him get dropped.
Yeah, I was gonna say that'd be probably good for me to like. Where's first aid at?
It's in alphabetical order.
It'll be right under.
I only have base first aid, which is 30%. So I'm gonna try to administer shitty first aid to my
friends. Well, you already shot. That's why I was asking.
Nah, apparently I don't have that many feelings.
Remember what happened to the doctor? The same thing may be about to happen to him. Josiah may do first aid if nobody else does. You have first aid?
I do have first aid.
Yeah, he might need some.
Yeah,
I can attempt that.
Like, how long can we leave him with that?
One round. He gets the. If he doesn't get first aid in the
really?
First round, he gets
nobody...
has to make a con check and he's
oh, yeah.
dead.
I went from 11 to 0.
I did not bring my die that I bought to show where you got hit.
Oh!
Don't worry about it. I can't roll worth a damn.
did he die?
You got hit in the chest. Josiah did successfully first aid.
God.
So
somebody.
Josiah,
so,
I love you.
I literally
so you're stabilized.
Chance.
You're not going to die.
Okay.
Damn.
Josiah is like magnificent.
Unfortunately, that means that the cultist gets to fire again and... Oops.
Who's he fire at?
He fires at Josiah, but he way missed.
Oh, thank
I was just
goodness.
Making sure that wasn't a malfunction. Then Brian.
Yep. Which dice do I want to use? Because I'm shooting again.
Which dice? Use the good ones.
I'm trying to figure out which ones are the good ones. Virginia, a lot of these I haven't used yet.
Virginia, roll a listen.
I'm not good at listening. That's okay. A 61.
Okay. You hear nothing.
What?
You missed again?
That's a double zero on that. That's a malfunction. Oh. 45.
All right, luck check.
Yep. I don't want that dice anymore. Throw it away when I get home.
Your little dice thing.
Yeah, this is probably looks pretty spectacular, what's about to happen here.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
His gun's about to blow up in his hand. The luck check is to see if it hurts him when it blows up in his hand.
I hope it doesn't hurt you.
That is exactly 40. That is another zero, so I think that's exactly 40.
All right, so it kind of falls apart in your hand, but it does not take your hand with it. So
wow, that's super lucky, buddy.
Awesome.
And my then Josiah.
Hey, wait, you skipped me. Am I just listening?
I thought you did first.
No, I didn't do first aid on it.
Josiah goes before you, right?
I'm confused.
Yes, he does. Oh, okay. It's your turn now. Because he missed again.
Oh, okay.
And Gus is unconscious.
Yes.
Right. With one hit point.
Wait, while he...
Well, he's still technically at zero.
Can I provide more first aid to him?
Or no.
Or is it... We get one chance with first aid and then it's...
He's got first... Actually...
So now he needs actual medical care.
D3.
For me?
Yeah. You can roll it.
Two. One.
Actually. So you have one hit point.
Yeah.
He would have to get another wound to be able to get first aid again, and he does not want another wound, trust me.
Nope.
Okay.
So, can't lose half a hit point.
I'm gonna...
I would do some sort of attack.
I know, but, like, I'm so bad at guns, I'm on... I throw my gun at him.
Gun sells part.
Yeah.
I throw my gun at him, and then I take out my large knife. All right. And...
Brian and Gus, since you're awake now, listen.
Listen.
Fantastic with these two.
Nope.
Listen with a bonus die. So roll it in.
So okay. Important to hear this.
Well, because it's getting easier.
Oh.
Why? Same number. Why?
With a bonus die.
It just means you get to roll again and choose the better one. Still don't hear it. Wow.
Okay, wait. Can I listen?
Each one roll's been above 60.
Huh?
Can I listen again?
Yeah, since I said it was easier, yeah, you can roll again.
Never mind. I can't listen again. Got 60.
All right, everybody in the neighborhood knows that the cops are coming except you guys. Brian.
Well, I'm willing to bet that Brian knows the cops are coming because he's a cop and there's been gunfire.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
but nobody's heard the sirens yet.
Right, yeah, nobody's heard the sirens. This probably won't go on fire again with the new gun. Hey, maybe. Hey, it's a 43. I needed a 50.
Woo!
Or I needed less than a 50. So yeah,
that was me being happy. Not
what kind of weapon is that? What damage does it do?
It's the same. It's 45.
Yeah, 45 auto. So let's see, 1d10 plus 2.
I looted a corpse and then gave it to the next guy.
That is 6.
Hey, I'm not a corpse yet.
Severely maimed.
I just got a sucking chest wound.
All right, that's a major wound. All right, he falls to the ground.
Oh, wait, so they're dead?
No, that one's not dead. That one just took a major wound and passed out. But
ooh.
The other one is definitely
dead. I have handcuffs. Should we cuff them?
And yes. Now you definitely hear the cops coming, and they are like, since you failed like 3 times, they're like 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
Okay, I run up to the least injured one, and I cuff him.
We need to leave.
That's a round if
we
you do that. That
we
means the cops are here.
We came here to do illegal stuff with a cop, and the cops are 2 blocks
away. We're not doing anything illegal. I came into the alley.
We just shot 2 guys.
They shot at me. What are you mean? You're laying
She has
on the
a
ground.
Point. That is self-defense. They did fire at an officer first. But,
although,
we're going
to
keep
that
a secret. I'm
not
a cop here.
Right.
Let's go away.
All right, what are you doing?
Well, he's down.
Yeah, he's up now.
He's in very bad condition,
but he can walk.
And we are in Harlem.
Josiah will pick you up and carry you.
I don't want to be
since
right
he was
now.
Instructed to take care of you.
But there's only one way out of the courtyard, and we're at the far end of the alley.
Spot hidden.
Please. Ooh.
Actually,
I got an 8. I got an extreme success.
You hey, I got a heart success.
All right, the door that next to the Juju house is the back door to a pawn shop, and it is slightly ajar.
That door's ajar!
Sounds good. We'll go hide and
Gus says...
It's not ajar.
Trying to hold his...
Josiah is helping you.
Good.
If you let him, he carries you.
I will let him. No shame.
You can stroke his beard while he carries you.
That's not necessary.
All right, so you go in there.
Beard's probably stroking me.
Get away!
There's a door going out the other side that goes onto the 138th Street. Or you can just attempt to hide in the...
Well, the guy I shot is still conscious. He's just
unconscious.
Okay, unconscious. Okay,
but so he's not dead.
Okay, so we can go in the pawn shop and close the door
and lock it.
And lock it if it's a non-keyed lock.
Luck check.
Well, I guess is this everybody can roll a luck check?
Yeah, maybe everybody.
It should be a group luck because only one shot for it to be. You can't lock the door; it's broken.
Okay. Well, we can close it anyway.
Yeah, we can close it.
The hinges fall off.
All right. You hear some cops talking outside. This one's still alive. Call an ambulance.
Hey, maybe we should take our friend to come here. Yes.
Fantastic. Let's go out the front door and hang a left instead of a right and get away from these cops. No offense, Brian.
Hey, Johnson, check those doors over there.
Okay, we're scurrying then.
Yeah, we're gonna scurry out.
Alright, so you get out the other side onto 138th Street. You escape the cops.
I've got this...
you got a major wound.
I got a 38 or 22 wound to the chest.
You're going
to
need medicine.
Yeah, I like a doctor hospital. This isn't a...
Medicine or surgery?
You're going to need somebody who can do medicine.
Oh.
Not first aid.
What if I just have penicillin?
That's not a skill that our people have.
Yeah, the person who could do that
got
skewered through the chest with a big knife last
time. Okay, so I'm going to say to Brian while Josiah is carrying me, so what hospital are your buddies likely to take those guys to? Let's go to a different one.
Okay, that'll be the closest one. In Harlem, whatever hospital that is.
Okay, so we go to the second closest
right.
one.
Okay.
And are we taking... Let's take a cab.
You can tell them if somebody comes in with a gunshot, they're going to call the cops.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll relay that. If you come in with a gunshot, they're definitely going to be...
I've got an idea. What if we hide your gunshot wound with a knife stab?
No.
That would kill him, that's what.
Now, the precinct I'm under, where is that located?
We're in Manhattan, so it's not far from Harlem, but it's where the Chelsea Hotel is and where the nicer places are. Okay. Give me a luck roll, you, all right. Brian. Actually, let's make it a no roll, education.
Education, that's only slightly better. No.
How far away are you? Far?
Well, I need a 50 and I rolled a 60. I didn't even roll
you
this
You could use
yet.
10 luck.
Let me roll that just so I get it proper. Okay, that'd be a total of a 68.
Yeah, you probably don't want to use that much luck.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
All right, so
you
got an injured Gus here with a gunshot wound.
Wait.
Might be a problem to go to a hospital.
Let's go to the vet. Where's the closest veterinarian? 24-hour
gonna
emergency
open. They're not gonna,
hospital bed.
In 1925, there's not going to be a 24-hour veterinarian.
Yeah, Wednesday night, it's bound to be 8:30 or 9 at
yeah.
this point.
Yes. No vet.
What if we looked up
Unless
a doctor
we do
in
a
the
vet.
Phone book? Do we know a vet? Do you know a vet?
That's why he's doing a no-roll, to see if he knew a doctor who would do it undercover, and he did
yeah.
not.
No, I did not.
Would Gus know a doctor who would do it undercover?
No-roll.
See, what time of night is it?
It's about 8:30.
8:30? If you could make it to a hospital in Manhattan.
I got a one.
Yeah, you know a doctor who will fix you up.
All right, there you go.
So I cough, blood through my fingers. Let's go see Doc Sampson.
Okay.
Doc Sampson.
I don't get it.
I get it.
Glad you guys share something.
Roll Doc Samson's medicine roll.
Okay, well. Well, okay, you know what Doc Samson's medicine score is. He got a 46.
That's good. D3. You're not in a hospital, so you're only going to get D3.
One.
All right, so.
What is wrong with you?
I got shot in the chest. That's what's wrong with me.
I mean, man up.
I get impaled by a pistol somehow.
Yeah.
And the issue now is that does not get rid of your major wound, and you don't get another medicine roll for a week. So you're going to be stuck at 2 hit points for a week.
Okay, well, in that case...
getting damaged in Cthulhu is no joke.
Doc Samson patched me up. I guess crammed some gauze and...
Yeah. But you're still in pretty bad
shape. Ground beef or something in this hole in my chest. I don't know.
He, like, took some penicillin and grated it over your chest hole.
Say when.
Yeah, right, right.
Like you're at Olive Garden.
But the good news is I'm up to a whopping 2 hit points now. I'm ready to go back to my flat, which I'm guessing now that we have a little more money.
Is super nice.
Pep bought a townhouse.
Oh, well, I would... I mean,
which is where Virginia's staying, actually.
Well, since Pip and I were buddies, I guess I probably have a place somewhere near.
Do you want to go to Pip's house? Because I have
be his next door neighbor if you want to at a townhouse next door.
I could maybe, yeah. Yeah, that's true. My place in the country is the family farm back in North Carolina, so I'm not worried about that. So, yeah, my place is near Pep's place.
Okay.
I forgot my guy's place. I'm so worried about getting you back
merely
up that I forgot I got
wound.
Oh, you can do a medicine check for him too. The doc can work on you as well.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't roll it actually.
21.
All right, D3. Wow. You did not have a major wound though.
No. Wow, that's a one.
So that gives you a point, and you're going to get a point back a day because you didn't have a major wound. He's the one with the issue because of his major wound.
Yeah, he's got an issue.
Yeah.
This might be a time where you want to back up character and let your guy rest for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll make that a weekend project, I guess. Well, I tell you what, while Gus is convalescing, people could come by and relay information to him or something.
I mean, you could still go out and do stuff. You're just...
carried by Josiah.
No, I can move now. I just I'm walking with a cane. Ooh, new asset or new item. Walking with a cane.
Ooh, you can make it a cane.
You got shot in the chest, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, maybe you need a walker.
Actually, bought a die with hit locations and left it upstairs.
Yeah, it's not a super cool cane, but, you know.
All right, that's it for the 21st.
It was a rather uneventful day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gus.
So you wake up on the 22nd. Gus is not feeling too hot.
I feel like we maybe shouldn't have went to that place and stared at the store.
Yeah, you think maybe we shouldn't have done that? Gee, wish somebody had said maybe we shouldn't go do that.
No, I give him his 45 back.
And that was definitely some odd behavior, just to start capping.
Yeah. Not exactly
so
what I'm comfortable with.
I think that there's something up with that alley. Like, they're hiding something. Like
I would say that's a pretty fair assumption at this point.
So this is the morning of the
22nd. Tomorrow is when you're supposed to go to Sing Sing.
So I'm guessing, since I'm convalescing at home, and Virginia is staying at Pep's place, Josiah and Brian probably came by my townhouse.
Josiah's going to stay at your place unless you tell him not to because he's watching out for you.
No, that's fine.
I'm going to stop by and bring you some soup.
Right. And Brian can come by and meet us and we can see. We might have to dun-dun-dun at the party. I don't know that we'll do that. But So, it's the 22nd. We have our meeting with Adams, with Hilton Adams at Sing Sing tomorrow. What do you want to try to accomplish today? Not that I can do much, but...
What were we even going to do with that meeting?
Well, remember,
I wish Pitt left me some notes. I don't know anything.
Hilton Adams is the guy who Jackson Elias thinks was framed for the murders in Harlem. And we went to Harlem.
Brian has said so, but I think he also thinks that.
Well, we went to Harlem last night, where Jackson thinks there was some, you know, funny business going on. Yeah, shenanigans of a homicidal sort. There were shenanigans of a nearly homicidal sort. Me! And he keeps pointing at this wound in his chest.
Don't move so quickly. You're going to re-hurt yourself.
So. Oh, and today was the day I thought we might go to Massachusetts. Catch a train. I don't think I'm in any condition to catch a train to Massachusetts. If anybody wants to go to Cambridge, or maybe Arkham, or is there something else to do in the city? I feel like we're overlooking something here.
I feel like we should have gotten that key last night, but somebody had to get shot in the chest.
How are we going to get a key? The guy was gone.
Maybe he left it, or he slept above the house.
Maybe.
Or above the store.
Or, you know, probably not. Considering our luck, because, I mean, I got shot in the chest. Seems like Gus is kind of hanging on to this a little bit.
You're such a Debbie Downer.
Of course, you know, it was about 12 hours ago when I got shot in the chest.
Well, first things first.
Idea.
I need to get my weapon fixed.
Idea.
Yes, you do.
Ooh, yeah.
Idea check Virginia.
I have so many ideas right now. No, I don't. I have 66 ideas right now.
And what's your intelligence?
My intelligence is 60.
Okay. You can do it too.
Oh, okay. I also wanted to see if I could, since Brian is without a sidearm right now, and he can't exactly report his exploding sidearm to his higher-ups, I was wondering if some of the people I know on the less than lawful side of New York might have a 45 that we could acquire for
him. You can get him another gun, and if you need to get the money, you can get the money from Carlton Ramsey. That's Elias's lawyer, and he's the one who's handling the money.
If we had money after Peru,
oh yeah,
then I'll have to update that. I'll since he saved my life, I'm more than happy to buy him an exact duplicate of the 45 ACP that he lost last time.
All right, you got your weapon back.
All right. And now, I'm rolling a no roll, correct?
Idea,
which is intelligence.
Okay. Oh, I did not make it, but it wasn't a critical failure.
What'd you have?
92.
Oh. I'm trying to figure out.
So I know nothing.
Was he there when you guys were discussing all of that stuff?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
You could do an idea check too then.
And that was just intelligence?
Yep.
That is a 23.
Yeah.
And I needed 75.
He was asking about things in New York. There were two things that you remember from going through all of that stuff. Jackson's note that said, check that psychoanalyst's file. And the books are in Carlisle's safe.
We could go to Carlisle's.
So psychoanalyst's file.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlisle's safe.
And everybody do an idea check again.
Ooh, I'm going to have so many ideas. 13.
Oh, I got a 97 that time.
That is like 1 point above extreme ideas.
Okay, Dr. Robert Houston is a psychoanalyst who was on the Carlisle expedition.
Say that again?
Dr. Robert Houston was a psychoanalyst who was on the Carlisle expedition. He was a New York psychoanalyst.
So he was on the expedition, but there supposedly weren't any survivors from the expedition. But we're supposed to check the psychoanalyst's file based on Jackson's notes.
Mm-hmm. No roll.
Wait.
Education.
Didn't they not all die, though?
Yeah. Jackson's notes said they may not all have died.
Hey, I finally got a no roll.
98. I didn't know anything.
Doctor's files are kept in the state archives after their death.
Oh, okay. So we need to visit the state archives?
Mm-hmm. But are they, like, public records?
No.
But we have a police officer with us.
Right. Who is undercover.
Who is working undercover with you guys. You are the only one supposed to know I'm an officer.
But he has his badge, and I'm willing to bet that we could compartmentalize here. And you could possibly ask for the information as an officer.
Okay, I've got this
You
idea.
Wouldn't be doing anything illegal that way.
No.
Gus says not having any idea at all whether that would be illegal. But, you know.
Just take it again.
What if, okay, if you wanted to
What if with the NYPD? What if?
What if, like, and you still wanted to be undercover and have nobody know that you're a police officer, you just lent me your badge and I pretended I was the police officer and I went and got the archives.
Yeah, I don't know that he'll do
that. That's a felony.
Not if we're
There's
doing
that line. That he... We found a line. Okay.
That involves the feds, and I don't want to deal with those.
Yeah, you and he would both go to jail
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, the G-men are off limits at that point.
Nobody lets me do anything fun.
Impersonating an officer is not fun. That's a felony.
Fun. Felony. Don't start with F, but...
It seems like a lot of things that Virginia thinks are fun are felonies. Breaking and entering.
Bored on the farm.
Well, I was not born on a farm, first of all.
Where the file is located, it's not anywhere near Harlem.
I was born on the prairie.
Okay. Yeah, then I probably wouldn't mind just acting as a police officer to get access to those files. I don't have to tell them details, just so much as...
Exactly.
Are you going alone?
It would probably be best if I did.
And are you wearing your uniform, or are you just going to show them your badge?
I'm just going to show them my badge.
Yeah, Gus is going to stay home.
Credit check with a bonus die.
That's 34. That's not going to do what I want.
So you go into the state archives. There's a little lady sitting behind the desk. Says, yes, sir, can I help you?
Yes, I need to get the file on a psychoanalyst. His name was...
Robert Houston.
Robert Houston.
And do you have the forms DD/2.375? At least a lieutenant?
I do not yet, but I can.
When you have the form, come back and see me. Thank you. Have a good day, sir.
I ask you for what form.
She gives you the number.
And then leave. Yeah, I guess I'll go back to my precinct and see if I can get that form from my lieutenant.
Wow, you put me in a difficult position here, Mackenzie. That is going to go into the official file.
Right, but I can't access that file because it's not public record, and I think it might be important for what you've tasked me to do.
Tell you what I'm going to do. Pulls the form out, he signs it, and he hands it to you, and it's signed by Captain Robeson.
Good enough. I'll thank my lieutenant and head out and head back and see if I can get access to that file.
Wait, do we see him before he goes back to that place?
I don't think he came back to see you.
No.
We should have kept a copy of that signature.
It's a forged signature anyway.
Yeah, it's a forged signature.
All right, the important thing in the psychoanalyst file is this information about Roger Carlyle.
All right. Yeah, once I get the file, I'll head back to meet with you guys and share all the information. Let's see. First meeting, January 11th, 1918. Reference, Erica Carlyle. Closest relative, Erica Carlyle. At his sister's insistence, Mr. Roger Vane Worthington Carlyle visited me this morning. He deprecates the importance of his state of mind, but concedes that he has had some trouble sleeping due to a recurring dream in which he hears a distant voice calling his name. In parentheses, interestingly, the voice uses Mr. Carlyle's second given name, Thane, of which Mr. Carlyle admits he always thinks of himself. In parentheses, Carlyle moves towards the voice and has to struggle through a web-like mist in which his collar is, and it's all scritched out, understood to stand. The collar is a man, tall, gaunt, dark. Inverted Ankh blazes on his forehead, following the Egyptian theme. Again, more parentheses, C, which I assume stands for Carlyle, has had no conscious interest in things Egyptian, he says. In parentheses. The man extends his hands to Carlyle, his palms held upward. Pictured on his left palm, Carlyle discovers his own face. On the right palm, Carlyle sees an unusual misshapen pyramid. Carlyle then brings his hands together, and Carlyle feels himself float off the ground into space. He halts before an assemblage of monstrous figures, figures of humans with animal limbs, with fangs and talons, or of no particular shape at all. All of them circle a pulsating ball of yellow energy, which Carlyle recognizes as another aspect of the calling man. The ball draws him in, he becomes part of it, and sees through eyes not his own. A great triangle appears in the void, its twisted symmetry of the same fashion as the vision of the pyramid. Carlyle then hears the caller say, "And become with me a god." As millions of odd shapes and forms rush into the triangle, Carlyle wakes. Carlyle does not consider this dream a nightmare, although it upsets his sleep. He says that he revels in it and that it is a genuine calling, although my strong impression is that he actually is undecided about it. An inability to choose seems to characterize much of his life. September 18th, 1918. He calls her Imweru. Imweru. Anastasia and my priestess. He is obsessive about her, as well as might be exterior devotion, as is certainly one way to ease the tensions of megalomaniacal contradictions. She is certainly a rival to my authority. December 3rd, 1918. If I do not go, Carlyle threatens exposure. If I do go, all pretense of analysis surely will be lost. What then will be my role?
What in the hell?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to make of that.
So it sounds like Carlyle blackmailed this Robert Houston into going on the expedition.
Be what it says there.
He didn't want to go. Threatens exposure of what?
He doesn't say.
I guess if I was afraid of exposure, I wouldn't put it down either.
Give me a hard no roll.
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
No.
Not a 7, it's a 70.
Nope. You don't run in the right circles to have that information.
Not a surprise. There's a lot of right circles Augusta.
Can I, so I read this, and then my psychology is at 45. Can I do a psychology roll or know anything more?
No. I will tell you that in Jackson Elias's crazy note, he said he was having dreams like Carlyle's.
I remember that, yeah. Dreams like Carlyle's. So I'm guessing this... To borrow the language, this calling man and priestess must have been in Jackson's dreams before he entered into the big sleep, so to speak.
Okay, guys, I have this idea, right?
Does it involve me getting shot in the chest?
The priestess seems to be a real person and not part of the dream, by the way.
Oh, okay.
All I know is they sound like a couple of nutcases.
Certainly a lot of disjointed, rambling description, for sure. If I were editing this, I'd send it back to the writer. Put it that way. Cough, cough.
Heart was right. God bless her and keep her.